Welcome back to Cash Grab Cinema, where we, like everyone else, is hurtling toward the end times faster than your old co-worker getting drunk at a Christmas party, so no reason to stay palatable. In this economy, no thank you. I'm done with hot girl summer. I'm neck deep in feminist rage and unhinged summer is in full fucking swing. Hanging by a thread is my two male co-hosts, Josh, Trey.
Kwanzu, dudes.
I was just about to say tread lightly.
Kwanzu, dudes.
Oh, boy.
So sorry.
Just starting off real sharp.
Well, I'm Rachel, and that was Josh, and here's Trey. And this week, we watched Surf Ninjas.
Surf Ninjas!
If you're going to be that loud, you're going to have to turn it down. It's so loud.
I'm sorry. I'm very excited about Surf Ninjas.
Can I ask why?
It's weird. There's just certain movies that I think I just saw a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like over and over again.
While we were watching this, it made me want to ask you, where were your parents?
At church, probably. Praising the Lord.
Is this the kind of stuff they approved of? Surf Ninjas with Rob Schneider? I also have a question, and I'm going to put it to Trey because he's much funnier.
Good call.
When, if ever, was Rob Schneider funny?
Ooh, for about 3 seconds in The Hot Girl.
Okay.
Really?
Yes.
Because it was not this.
No.
But it was in one of his solo vehicles. Because I don't know that I'm that familiar with Rob Schneider's solo stuff.
Unfortunately, I am for some reason that I can't quite recall at the moment. And to further not incriminate myself, I won't interrogate why. But I've seen a number of his movies. And when I was coming up, his seasons of Saturday Night Live ran constantly on Comedy Central. So I know all of his. He was, I don't know, was he the Making Copies guy?
He was Making Copies.
Yeah, that's... That's fun. And in here, this movie, he's just making jokes about MSG.
Oh, yeah. The hatred of MSG in the 90s was such the weirdest thing. Just like, oh, I'm sorry. Do you not like delicious food?
I know. Yum. Umami. Get into it.
I think they hit every mainstream Asian stereotype joke.
And they fed it all through him.
Yeah, they did.
Even though he has an Asian parent.
Does Rob Schneider in real life have an Asian parent?
He's half Filipino.
Oh.
That's not that surprising.
No, not really.
That he'd still be a just blech of a person.
And just trafficking some of the lowest common denominator of jokes. And why do they even need him for comic relief when they had Tone Loc in this movie?
They had Tone Loc and they had Leslie Nielsen in this movie. Two, like, heavy hitters of 90s comedies.
Yeah, but instead of being funny, they were just like, hey, Leslie Nielsen, can you fall down a lot? But not, it was, I don't know. Here's a question, and... Should we point by point this movie, go through our typical fashion, how we decide things, or should we just, off the top, say what we decided? It'll be a mystery as to if we think this is a cash grab or not. And instead of doing that, we could talk about the pipeline from these sort of like, air quotings, gently racist movies to the anti-alt-right YouTube channels that came out in, like, 2015 to 2018, which has led to the QAnon-type shit now.
Whoa.
Like, I think there's a clear line from shit like Surf Ninjas to Donald Trump being elected president.
Well, that kind of has to be what we talk about. I think that's the most pressing thing.
But I think we should do a hybrid. I think we should actually give sort of a point by point. That way we can, really flesh it out
Why? I mean, what is there to flesh out? Rob Schneider's only stick in this thing is like racism.
You get with that sword. Now you can work at a sushi restaurant.
Oh my gosh.
Oh.
Okay. All right. Who took notes?
I did.
Of course you did.
Yes, of course.
I did as well, but this is the least amount of notes I've taken for a movie yet. My first note is, this is more of a general question. What is a ninja? I thought I knew before I watched this, and then I saw some guys in balaclavas and dressed in blue camouflage. Okay.
There's something important we need to address first off, which is that I was a huge fan of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the movie, the cartoon show, but I loved the movie. I thought it was great. And the choreographer for the stunts, the action, was Ernie Reyes Sr., right, who plays Zatch in Surf Ninjas. And his son also had a part in Ninja Turtles. He also had a part in The Last Dragon. He was one of the students in the that studied with Bruce Leroy in The Last Dragon. So, anyway, I don't know. I love the Ninja Turtles. I was, you know, cuckoo for that stuff.
Josh, you don't have to try to justify why you like Surf Ninjas so much. We're just finding... Why do you keep telling us about the stuff you liked as a kid? It makes us question you. Question you in a way that maybe you don't want to be questioned. You know what I mean?
You know what?
Rob Schneider was 28 years old, when he made this movie. Even as a child, you must have realized... That's a grown man.
He's got the eyes of someone who's paid taxes for over a decade.
Absolutely he does.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's kind of like, I think, for some of our latest episodes, we've covered stuff that we've actually kind of liked. We did Peanut Butter Solution, which I think we appreciated in a lot of ways.
I guess I did like it. I was more haunted by it.
I feel like, again, you're just putting a lot of words in my mouth and things that I have never said.
Not that long ago, we did Black Lake, which I think we were, you know, ultimately pretty supportive
of. If you ever... ever compare Surf Ninjas to the to the artistry that is Black Lake again.
Yeah.
I know I've joked a lot about kicking you out of this pod, but that's the line.
Okay. No, I'm saying that we've appreciated those, had happy things to say about those, so I was looking to really make you guys mad. To really anger you.
I don't believe you. I don't think you remembered this movie well, and it's too late.
It's just a movie I knew kicking around, just like, I don't know, Love Potion number 9. Problematic in many ways.
Yeah, that's not helping your case.
But I watched it a lot. It was in my orbit, and so I watched it a lot.
Listen, all I really want to talk about, like, serious discussion aside, is 110% those kids were not surfing, right? Like,
oh no.
Like the stunt doubles for the children who were surfing, those were adult men.
Yeah. They were older than Rob Schneider.
They could not have been more off. And I think the only similarities is that they had the same color wetsuits on.
Not always.
No.
Not always, yeah.
Do you feel like there was a sufficient amount of surfing given.
That is called Surf Ninjas? Absolutely not.
Okay, yes. Agreed.
They got in the water with a surfboard twice. And one of the times was when, that was ludicrous. So they're on this, they're trying to get to the island.
Yeah.
To reclaim the kingdom from Leslie Nielsen. And
Colonel Chi.
And one of the kids has the power to see the future. And he sees all the trees as surfboards. So in under 20 minutes, this group of maybe 15 people cut all these trees down and then craft them into surfboards.
And finish them with wax or...
I mean, it's, and then, you know, the princess said that the Patusan people were some of the greatest wood carvers in the world. So, I mean, you have to believe that.
Okay, but even if they were, how could they fell that many trees in 15 minutes? And I hate to keep harking on about it, but then they get in the water and surf towards the island, but it's clearly just a beach. They are surfing towards a beach. It's not a cliffed island. They're lying.
Okay. So
I can't stand deceit.
So So the plot is actually really simple, and it gets explained. So
is it?
It's pretty simple. I think it's fairly simple. Where there is this, there's this fictional island nation called Patusan, which is actually, strangely enough, a literary reference that goes back to like Kipling or something like that. It's crazy. On this island, there's a king and queen. They have two sons. One is destined to be a great warrior. The other one, the younger one, is destined to be a great seer, right? Visionary. And then...
and then Leslie Nielsen takes over their land. And so these kids have to be adopted and brought to America. And then they're saved again when the older kid turns 16.
Leslie Nielsen, by the way, is a cyborg. Samurai, wait, because he got trampled by an elephant while trying to take over the nation.
So he's a warlord.
Well, I'm going to give you an image of Leslie Nielsen in case you can't picture it. Do you remember Inspector Gadget?
Yeah.
The
cartoon show.
Yes. Yeah, do you remember the bad guy who liked to pet his cat a lot?
Claw.
Yeah.
That's what Leslie Nielsen looks like.
Damn you, Gadget. Oh, wait. It was a kid's show. Curse you, Gadget.
Yeah, he looked like Gadget. The Gadget guy. The bad guy.
Same kind of energy, too.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, the design on the hand, for sure.
Yeah,
because
right?
It's like, it's robotic, but it's like curvy. So yeah, he's a warlord who, in this initial takeover of the Patusan, the main capital.
It's Thailand.
It's yeah, Thailand, it's... right? Or Hawaii. They filmed in Hawaii also.
No, that part's definitely Thailand, 100%.
But
Hawaii doesn't have any elephants except for the ones at the zoo.
He gets trampled by an elephant, and the result being half... He's kind of like Two-Face. Half of his face is metal. And
is it,
and
though? Or is it just half a mask? Like, they couldn't even be bothered to affix it to his face.
This is pre-Power Rangers kind of prosthetics going on here. Yeah. It's something to see.
So besides the children definitely not surfing, what part were you just like the most like, what by? Was it, and this is the only correct answer, was it when the restaurant brawl was happening, when the adopted dad, I think his name was Max or Mac?
Mac.
When his restaurant was being ambushed by these quote unquote ninjas, there was a breakfast special for 99 cents. What has happened? This was filmed in 1993. Was that a reliable breakfast price?
We've fallen so far.
Yeah.
I don't think you can get a biscuit for like under $5 anymore.
Not with no fixings on it.
Mm-mm. Listen, I think that sometimes the people forget where we live, but a breakfast biscuit is not $5.
That's no. Crazy. That's crazy. It should be like, what, $2 most?
I want an egg and cheese biscuit. And I think $2 is pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
I agree.
That's fair.
If you want maybe another dollar for some meat. I know that times are tough, but what the hell?
I thought you were going to say during the restaurant fight when... So the whole time the kids are in America, they're living with Mac, but they're also like being guarded over by their by Zatch, who is a... he's this ninja warrior who wears a patch. And every time some other ninjas in the blue camo show up to kill these kids, he very quickly fights them. He doesn't kill them. He just knocks them out. And so I guess they go away.
Oh, also he's their uncle. We find that out at the end.
Yeah,
so are we to believe that this has been going on since they've come to America? Because I thought maybe it just started recently.
Oh, right, because it's getting close to a 16th.
I think he alluded to that it happens from time to time.
Okay.
But now it's like ramping up since the oldest one is coming to his 16th birthday and there's some destiny he will fulfill in freeing the people of Patusan. But honestly, it's a miracle the little one is alive, his little brother, because during the siege, the uncle threw the baby like a football.
Mm-hmm.
And it's somehow,
perfect spiral.
And it's
right into that boat.
It's still alive somehow.
This was directed by Neil Israel. Neil Israel, he did some wacky movies. He did Real Genius with Val Kilmer. Did Bachelor Party. He also did this movie that I just watched, which is crazy. It was called Breaking All the Rules, And it stars, get this, C. Thomas Howell.
Okay.
Jason Bateman.
I'm in.
Jonathan Silverman.
I'm out.
That's NBC's The Single Guy.
Yeah.
And Annie Potts.
Okay, I'm back in.
And it's like an early 20s road trip, finding yourself sort of St. Elmo's Fire movie trying to be. But it's just chaos and nothing makes sense, much like in Surf Ninjas. Anyway, so when we're introduced to Johnny and Adam at the breakfast table, I like the way that Neil Israel like set up the shot where the Fruit Loops box was perfectly in the center of the frame.
I didn't notice that.
Front and center, the most obvious thing.
I think it's interesting that that's what you notice, because what I notice is that their house is directly, like, there's their house, a yard, the street, and across the street is the literal beach. They live on Ocean Park. That house today would cost you about $7 million. How much money is his 99-cent special bringing
in? It's quantity. It takes a lot of 99-cent specials to pay for that house. Of course, in 1992, it probably cost about, I don't know, like $60,000.
I mean, he's obviously getting a kickback from Patusan for taking care of these kids, right?
Right. I mean, I will say they
take
were.
Take care of these kids. We'll make it worth your while.
They were wearing a lot of like gold headwear mm-hmm. when we first see them in Patusan. So maybe he just grabbed some gold on his way out. Like, oh, I need this for the children.
For the children.
For sure. The children.
For the children.
They
children.
Need to live near the ocean. It will remind them of Patusan.
Yes.
When Rob Schneider makes his MSG joke at the restaurant, did it remind you of how villainized MSG was in the 90s by white people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember
to the
that?
Point where, like, every Chinese restaurant I know
would advertise they would, no MSG.
Yeah, I know places they had, like, neon signs that said no MSG.
I remember that.
Like, it was that important.
And what's funny is I didn't know what that was until fairly recently. I was just like, MSG, it's fine. I don't care. I want an egg roll.
People in majority Asian countries have been eating MSG for decades, and they have some of the oldest adults in the world. So obviously MSG is fucking fine. Isn't it just really like kind of a salt variant? Whatever. Makes your food delicious. Go to the Asian grocery store, buy some MSG.
Yeah.
Tonight's episode is brought to you by MSG.
I wish.
I would love that.
Put it on shit. Tastes good.
On some fries.
Just try it.
Why not?
Yeah. It might be delicious. The 90s stole it from you. Take it back.
MSG would be the only thing that would make that inedible omelet that he was making in with beets and
chives.
Do you remember that episode of King of the Hill where Dale Gribble really wanted to have a paper route, and he was like, but it was only for kids, and he was like, radical. My
name's Spunky Witherbean.
My mom just moved here when our dad left us. Right on! And he fell off the skateboard. That's the energy I get from Rob Schneider as soon as you see him on the screen. Like, even on the DVD cover, it just looks like someone photoshopped Rob Schneider onto a child's body.
It does look.
But he's so happy to be there. And again, when he said that he was in 11th grade, I was like, excuse me?
He's not even a senior.
Not even
he's
a
junior.
I mean, maybe you could make the argument like he's one of those two-time seniors, but even then.
Two times how many numbers, seniors? Because that's not, no. I thought that he was just like someone in his 20s that worked at the restaurant, but that wouldn't really explain why he's hanging out with these very young children, so.
See, I guess I just didn't remember the movie that well, but I feel like what would have made a lot more sense is if Rob Schneider was like Max's biological child. And he knew about the kids, and he was like trying to be like their cool younger friend to protect them. Because the character of Rob Schneider makes absolutely no sense. Like, he gets invited along to go to Patusan as like a fucking afterthought. Like, it makes more sense when Tone Loc is there, also accidentally.
Yeah. Zach is like really against Rob Schneider coming. Not so worried about Tone Loc.
It's like whoever wrote this movie was like, all right, how do we get everybody to Patusan? Accidentally.
Yeah.
Let's not really think too much into it. They're there. And they're there because I
Well, we're not going to pay for separate locations, so they all got to take the same fucking boat somehow. They all getting on the same boat.
And I'm sure Tone Loc was just so happy to get a free trip to Hawaii and Thailand.
He seemed pretty happy, but he seemed like he was having a good time.
You know? Yeah. Tone Loc, by the way, plays a very terrible detective after their father gets kidnapped.
What is it? Lieutenant Spears?
Lieutenant Spence.
Lieutenant Spence.
Yes, he's assigned to the case.
Why is a detective immediately there is a good question, right?
I thought he was in on it.
Trey.
What, he was a mole?
Yeah, I was like, oh, Tone Loc is here. He must be involved more heavily into this plot. Oh, he's not? He just gets to go along anyway.
Trey, I'm not sure how I feel about that we are suspecting the only black character in this movie to be a criminal.
Given the cast is predominantly Southeast Asian people and they still manage to have the most racist jokes in it that I've seen outside of, oh, I don't know, some sort of Disney cartoon from the 20s, I had little faith. And I was right to do that. I was right to not have that. Although Detective Spears' inclusion was honestly a delight.
He was a good character. He was very like easygoing.
Again, terrible cop. Yeah. He tells the kids like, you know, your father's probably into some organized crime. They came to rough him up. He'll be probably laying low somewhere. He'll be back. He was kidnapped. He was like, probably not.
If you say so, kid.
Go inside, get some ice cream. You'll be fine. He'll be back tomorrow, I'm sure. And then when he gets on the boat and the boat starts leaving.
He accidentally gets on. It's like he floundered his, like, oh, how'd I get here? What is this, a boat?
The ramp starts rising. He's like, shit. But he keeps going.
And then he gets Vulcan neck pinched.
Yeah, and he loves it.
Nighty night. I think the boat montage, besides all of the, how could you describe it? The acceptable 90s racism, I'm putting acceptable in air quotes, but like all of the, like, no, we're not racist, this is just, it's just banter, it's a little horseplay.
It's just a little bit of racist horseplay.
And I think that's when people, like elder millennials, when they remember the 90s, they're just like, nah, but the 90s was so chill and people weren't complaining as much and we weren't racist. I think that's where they get misguided into thinking that race, all racism has to be overt to be hurtful and damaging, because it doesn't. Because when Josh was like, oh, we can watch Surf Ninjas all together. When did this movie come out? 93? No. We will not be watching this movie with the kid, because I don't want them to think like, oh, these jokes are hilarious, I'm going to slip them into the Rolodex. Like, no. No. If it's a live-action children's movie, you should, before, like, ever, I don't know, before, like, 98, you should definitely fucking pre-screen that.
I don't know that it's ever safe. Maybe you should pre-screen all of them.
They became pretty reliable after the Disney Channel started pumping them out. Yes. But anything before Raven Simone was very popular, you know, go to that parent section to IMDb and just, like, give it a skim.
Mm-hmm. Because there's the Ned Flanders of the world on there snitching on every little thing that happens in movies. So that's a good tool to use, for sure. That's what Josh uses when he needs to screen movies for his students.
Yeah.
Like, he'll look through, like, all right, let's look for these trigger warnings here. Thank you, Ned Flanders.
They actually go through and count all the nipples, which I think is very helpful.
There are 17 instances of the word penis.
What movie are you watching? This is penis 17 times.
Penis.
The Hangover.
E.T., actually.
So when they get to fucking Pachusan, Zatch sinks the goddamn boat.
He's a maniac.
He's like, either we'll succeed or we'll die here. Just like, isn't your only job to protect these children? What are you talking about?
That was 10 minutes before blowing up their house.
Yep. He's a big believer. There's a sort of running theme about destiny and how destiny sort of drives everything. And I think that that's probably one of the more interesting things in the movie. It comes out in a...
I feel like it's not more of belief, just his, like, blind devotion.
Yes. It's almost like he's willing it to be. He's just like, no, it's destiny. And I say it's destiny, so therefore it will happen. Because it's destiny, and I say so.
I demand it to be that way. So it has to work out.
It's a helpful tool for those who don't like critical thinking.
Yeah, he's like, somebody told him what to do once, and he latched onto that with all of his being. And he will not be changing, hence sinking the boat.
Now, something really interesting, before they get on the boat to go to Patasan.
I think it's interesting that you keep calling this movie really interesting.
We find out that Adam's Sega Game Gear has the power
to tell the future,
to see into the future. This movie is a historic first because there was a Surf Ninjas video game
for the Sega system,
for the Sega Game Gear that came out. It was the first video game tie-in that came out before the movie did. So the game came out in like August, and the movie didn't come out until like September, October, or something like that. So it predated the movie, and it's the first time that ever happened for Surf Ninjas. Because of, obviously, the inclusion.
How much do you think that game sells for?
I don't know.
I'm going to look it up.
But...
I found it.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Okay, guess the price. Trey, go first.
I'm going to say $48.
Okay, Josh?
I'm going to go in the other direction. I'm going to say $126.
Are you ready?
I don't know.
Puck your assholes, dude. $280.
Holy shit.
What?
$280. Now, granted, that's a sealed copy, a brand new one, but wow. In the gameplay, the bad guy is gold.
What?
Yeah, instead of gray. Like, his metal mask is gold instead of gray. Which, maybe that makes more sense, because it seemed like Patusan, they were trying to, like, frame it like they were very wealthy. Like a very wealthy nation, because everybody had a lot of gold on before the hostile takeover. The elephant stepping on that guy made me think of... Have you guys been tracking the story on the internet about the elephant and the lady in India?
What?
Okay, that's what I want to talk about now. Okay. Let's set Surf Ninjas aside gently and carefully, much like they did losing almost $2 million. Let's talk about this elephant. And it's... So, Josh, you haven't heard about this.
I think I have, but I would like to be reminded.
Okay, so an elephant went to this lady's funeral and took her out of the casket and smashed up her body after the same elephant, had originally murdered her. And then it's been all over the internet, like, what did this lady do to make this elephant pull up on her like
That's
this?
That's the only thing I could think of.
Turns out she was a poacher, an elephant poacher, and had either, I don't know what kind of poaching, either she took a baby elephant or killed a baby elephant, something with a baby elephant, and that elephant was getting its retribution on this woman.
Not just retribution, like coming and disrespecting the funeral, that's like another level.
Yes. Desecrating the body.
I feel like that elephant was like sending a message.
Yes, mm-hmm. To all of us.
Like, this is what will happen if you come near my family again. Watch out. So that's the... I want to pretend in this fantasy world I've crafted for myself that the elephant that smashed Leslie Nielsen is the same elephant who took that lady out.
It's like the Don Corleone of elephants. Like, yeah. He's a real tough guy.
I mean, honestly, that same elephant should have come back and finished the job in the movie, and that would have... I would have enjoyed that quite a bit.
That would have been nice.
Yeah.
Okay, were there any parts in the movie that you actually laughed at? Because for me, there is one.
There is one, yes, that comes near the end.
There were two.
Okay, go ahead.
The first one was when Tone Loke woke up on the boat, and they were like, "How'd you get out the handcuffs?" And he said, "I swallowed the key on Tuesday."
Why'd you swallow the key?
I swallow the key every Tuesday.
What a weird regimen.
And all of them just look at him. And they don't.
which means if, you know, if we're gonna average out, like, you know, bowel cycles or whatever, he's probably getting into scrapes and situations where he needs that key on the weekend.
Is he just a very regular, predictable pooper, or can he control when the key comes out?
Just concentrates really hard and just works the colon muscles.
I mean, that one exchange just opened up this entire world of questions. Obviously, there's some sort of kink thing happening in addition to this regularity. Listen, it's a whole Gordian knot.
And listen, Cash Grab Cinema, we're not here to kink shame, but don't swallow any keys. That doesn't seem safe.
Don't do it.
All right, for me, it was when the guy got pushed down the stairs.
Yeah, that was the other one.
He kept getting pushed down the stairs, and on the last one, he pushed himself.
He did. Like, the fight's going on, and he's falling down the stairs for most of it, and then he comes back again after everything's all done, and they're having the Star Wars, like, award ceremony.
Right. Hey,
Johnny,
your size, what is it?
Your side
news flash, your side loss.
That's something we haven't really addressed is Ernie Reyes Jr.'s character of Johnny and how deeply invested in the whole, like, California surfer culture.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so much dude.
This movie is so 90s. So 90s, in fact, that they're smoking in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and Zatch.
In a children's movie.
The fiercest warrior of the movie turns out he's a smoker. And it's like
Marvel.
I know, I should quit.
When it's like a name brand, isn't it like Marlboros? Marlboros?
Yeah, it was something I recognized.
Yeah.
It did look like a Marlboro.
I don't know.
Marlboro.
But him smoking allowed them to be able to light the fuses somehow.
Because he had a lighter.
Right, yeah. Because it was destiny.
Do, 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 do.
He's been putting his own health at risk because he knew this day would come.
He's the fiercest warrior against cancer.
Jesus.
Surgeon General's warning.
Do, 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 do.
I would like to... I didn't laugh at this, but it was something I like. We haven't mentioned a character, and it was the princess who has a name. I don't think they use her name.
Ryu-sun or something like that. It's got an R in it.
Yeah. I just kept calling her the princess. It's a...
Romay?
Romay?
Oh, it's right there.
Romay. Yeah. Played by Kelly Hu, who I know from being in X2 as Lady Deathstrike. That was some good fighting. Anyway, so she is...
She's arranged... His arranged wife.
Yeah.
Johnny's arranged wife.
And they present her, you know, with the veil, and, you know, they do a lot of bad veil jokes. It was terrible.
You know why she wears a veil, right? Because she's fucking ugly.
It's just that same joke like 6 times.
Yeah.
And delivered in slightly different ways.
And then she takes the veil off and she looks, you know, like a conventional attractive woman. And, you know, it's like, oh, but anyway.
What a sigh of relief from everyone in the audience.
Well, I just want to be clear. She's definitely not a woman. She's a child, which makes the sex joke later disgusting.
Yeah.
When she I know how to distract these ninjas, and she says something in a different language, and Johnny asks her, what did you say? And she says, you'll find out on our wedding night. Just like, ew.
I hated that. But then, in what was her most lines, she's like, hey, so look here. I'm kind of tired of doing whatever my parents say, and I know that we're supposed to get married, but I don't know if I want to get married to you. In fact, if I even want to get married at all.
But we can still date, right? And then they have a second awkward kiss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I like that, because she was like, I'm not really trying to marry you, but, you know, you cute. You can still get it. That's as close as you get to agency in the 90s movie.
She took all of it, I guess.
Yeah. Well done.
Speaking of agency.
Do, do, Marvel Minute.
I will fire you from doing my jingle if you keep making it so bloody awkward.
What's the movie this time, Rachel?
All right, so it was X-Men: The Last Stand.
Ugh.
I'm going to be 100% honest with you guys. I only watched the trailer.
Did you do yourself a favor? Did you do yourself a favor? You only watched the trailer?
Do yourself a favor? Just watch the trailer. Well, I don't know. I didn't watch the movie, so...
Your Marvel Minute is a sham.
You're a sham, okay?
So listen, what did you glean from the trailer?
Quiet down. Listen. Sorry. I am trying, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm... What is it? Why do people like these movies? And look, no judgment. Listen, if you really like these movies, go to at CashGram Cinema on Twitter and tell me what you like about it. Or email us at CashGramCinema@gmail.com. What, Trey, mm-hmm. You've seen some of these. Josh, you've seen a few of these in the theaters. What am I missing? Something's not clicking. I have watched so many of these freaking movies, and I have yet to come across one to be like, all right, well, I can see definitely why they built a cinematic universe around this. But instead, I'm just like, how do they keep getting money?
You haven't even gotten to the sweet spot yet, though.
What's the sweet spot?
It's the point at which budget meets ambition, I think, and they're actually
able and competency.
And competency, yeah, in a limited effect. And, like, sometimes. I don't think they're all great. But some of them are quite good.
When? Dear Lord, when? When do they get great?
I mean, I thought 1990s Captain America was pretty fucking great.
I haven't even gotten to a single Captain America. Oh, the first Captain America.
Where he kept getting sick and stealing cars.
No, I thought you meant the original one, where he's just a guy in a knitted suit with a gun.
And a nicotine addiction.
Well, that's fun.
It's me, Captain America.
That's the 1970s Captain America.
I hope he smoked American spirits. You know, keep it on brand.
I don't think they were around then. Probably Chesterfields.
Honestly, Rachel, I'm going to stick up for you because...
Thank you.
That movie is real bad. And it was directed by Brett Ratner. And I'm glad that you didn't watch it.
Which one's the good one, though, is the question.
The one you also didn't like. So...
<it's> So none of them are the good ones? Listen, maybe everyone else is wrong and I'm right. That's a possibility.
It is. Sure.
I feel like maybe we're not giving that enough weight. Like, who owns this now? Disney? Listen, Disney, get in touch. Not only will I fix Star Wars for you, which I think me and Trey did a pretty dope job. We still have one more to go, but we really fixed that last one for you.
Did.
I'll fix this Marvel stuff for you too, bro. No problem, because so far, not very good.
Hire her. She's not cheap, but you got it.
No, not at all. Not cheap, but I heard you spend like $1 billion on some of these franchises, so you can afford it. Don't worry about it. Also, I want other perks too, like pretzels, whenever I want them. Like soft pretzels, good pretzels.
Yum.
Listen, I'm going to do my best to watch more Marvel movies, but it comes to a point like who... It's just...
Isn't there another Punisher coming up, too, that you're definitely going to skip?
Oh, I'm for sure going to skip that. 100%. A Punisher has absolutely been ruined by the kind of people who have Don't Tread on Me stickers on their trucks. Like, did you even read the... I didn't watch the movie, but did you even read those comics? They're about people kicking your ass, in particular, you. You, friend. It's like people who watch V for Vendetta, and they're just like, yeah, Big government is bad. Anyways, I can't wait till the government regulates more stuff against people that isn't me. Like, I think you're watching these movies wrong. Like, I don't know how, but you are not absorbing the material correctly. And I would argue this is where media literacy is failing students. How can you watch those kinds of films and think, that's not about me, the racist moron, at all?
It's
what
crazy.
Kind of mind gymnastics can you do? I'm both flabbergasted and impressed.
So the people that watch Wolf of Wall Street and they see Jordan Belfort, they see Leonardo DiCaprio's character as like, yes, he's the protagonist, he's the main character, but he's
Jordan
also
Belfort
an
is a bad guy.
Yeah, he's not a good person. So like he's an anti-hero, but I don't think most people picked up on that. I think people saw like, look at him just trying to get ahead, and this government spoil sport comes and try to mess up his game.
How dare they keep the elderly from ruining their lives by giving all their pensions to Jordan Belfort?
They're trying to regulate us into oblivion.
I would also kind of argue that was the movie's fault for leading them down that path, but well, they
did, it's not always great at like
they did glorify like look how nice his life was.
I didn't know what a Quaalude was before that, and I was like, where do I find one? This looks fun. Luckily, they don't make them anymore, so I was saved.
And the ones that are still around probably don't work. Mm. You know, it's been so long.
Who's that guy? That dude who like thinks he's great with money and he's just really like some psychotic Republican who fires women for getting pregnant. Dave Ramsey.
Oh
yeah, Dave Ramsey.
I feel like the people who watched the Jordan Belfort movie and misunderstood that and thought that he was a good guy also get financial advice from Dave Ramsey. The kind of guy who says, if you don't own your own home, don't ever walk into a Starbucks or I'll fucking kill you.
Oh, God.
I will drive up to your house and slap the coffee out of your hands and leave a bowl of half-cooked beans because that's what you deserve, you poor person.
Here's what you do, douchebag. You work two jobs. You work 80 fucking hours a week. You never eat anything. You
just except do for that rice and beans.
20 years. You're retired. Done. God damn.
That's the kind of advice he gives people. And listen, I'm not a financial guru anyway, but I 110% guarantee you the occasional Starbucks drink you drink is not putting you into financial ruin. No. So enjoy the Starbucks, babes. Drink it. Go to Target and spend $20 more than you got. Because what's actually driving you into financial ruin, you have no control over. Like how rent went up $100 just to put in an application. So it's not your fault.
So who's going to pay you for that opinion? Because I feel like, listen, we just like take his money and give it to you?
Listen, Dave Ramsey's and other people who might have just gleaned some information. If you want to help Cash Grad Cinema keep going and trucking along, we are on Venmo and Cash App at Cash Grad Cinema. Most of that money will go to me and my Starbucks. So just kidding. Because I'm not a jerk.
Okay. So, really quick.
Oh, anyway, not for real, but that's the end of Marvel Minute. Someone fucking help me. Why? When will these movies get good? When?
Marvel Minute. Okay, back to Surf Ninjas. So, there's a scene that happens early on.
What did I do to deserve this? We go from suffering with Marvel Minute, and then Josh is like, let's surf right back in into this Rob Schneider vehicle.
Hey, everybody. Paddle on out. Those waves are looking nice. Back in to Surf Ninjas.
So, you just took the thing that I said and said it a different way.
Well, yeah. It's just chucking and jabbing.
Just put a Troy McClure filter on it.
It's like Josh refuses to remember at the top of the podcast when I said tread lightly. And he's like, I know what to do.
Can't catch those waves if you tread lightly. I don't know how surfing works.
Neither do the kids in this movie.
No, not at all.
Can I ask both of you, yeah, were you charmed at all by either of the two kid leads?
They're cute enough.
I like Ernie Reyes Jr. I think he's good. The other kid, I think, yeah, he was fine. He might have been trying a little too hard to, you know, have attitude. You know, Chandler Bing it up.
Yeah, you're right, Josh. Everything in this movie was so subtle.
Could it be anymore in your face?
It was just this one kid with his Sega console. He ruined it. It was so good before. So which part of the epic battle did you find the least believable?
Was it when Leslie, a 60-plus year old Leslie Nielsen, got the upper hand on Ernie Reyes Jr.?
For me, it was the fact that all you needed to defeat Leslie Nielsen was some water. And at
like the Wicked Witch of the West.
Yes, and at no point did they just throw a bucket of water on him.
Right.
That they let for 16 years this maniac control their nation because no one could push him in the water. He wasn't
it's surrounded by water. There's water everywhere.
He is an elderly man. You got it. You could do it.
I mean, half of him is new, so
yes,
you can't discount that.
And like by but
his average, new, yeah, it averages out. He's actually in his he's a teenager.
But new in this in the terms of like 90s electronics, you know.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember how hard it was to keep your Discman from skipping, even if you had like the fancy Discman?
So what you're saying is his arm has the same sort of mechanic in it as one of those claw catchers.
Absolutely. Yeah.
When you had a Discman, did you ever like make the calculation of like, all right, am I going to sacrifice battery life to use this shock absorber feature? Because I know if I do this, I've got 36 minutes max and those batteries are dead.
Thank you for taking me back to that time. It was difficult, and I don't want to talk about it.
No, because the Discman I had, I got from a yard sale, and it did not have that feature. But it did have, like, this little clasp that, like, clasped it closed because it was a sports edition. So you could, I guess, in theory, run with your Discman, and it wouldn't pop open accidentally. But
have you ever... going to be skipping like hell.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I think I only had one CD, and someone gave it to me, and I remember it being, I don't remember which one, but it was an Incubus CD.
Ooh.
Nice.
Yeah.
Interesting choice.
It was free.
Well, you know, yeah. Choices.
It was like a hostage situation. You're just like, this isn't very good, and then you listen to it enough, you're just like, this is the best song I've ever heard.
When Starbucks used to give out free iTunes
songs. I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
You'd get the song and be like, yeah, all right. I mean, it was free.
It was free. So, I mean, I don't feel like there's a lot left to say about this movie. Let's ask the question. Is 1993's Surf Ninja starring Rob Schneider a cash grab? Who wants to go first?
I will.
All right, Trey. Answer the question for the people. Is it a cash grab? I mean, probably not, right?
Oh, definitely, yes. So 1993 was the start of the video game movie. We already talked about how this was a tie-in to a video game. Let's see.
Super Mario Brothers 93?
Yep.
Oh.
Street Fighter and Double Dragon came out in 94. Mortal Kombat, 95.
Oh my God, Double Dragon was a crazy movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Wolf in it.
Yeah. Sorry. And a young what's her name from Charmed? Alyssa Milano.
The stank that the Mario Brothers movie put on husband wife director teams has never gone away.
Ever.
Like, I feel like if you are a husband and wife out there who are thinking, oh, we're gonna be film directors together, don't tell people where you're married. Because even to this day, it'll be like, I don't know.
And I think that goes, I think the exception to that rule, not that it's a well-worn rule, is there's a married couple that directed Napoleon Dynamite.
Really?
I don't know.
I think it was. I think it was like a married couple. They might have been siblings, I'm not sure. One of them. It was Idaho, so.
Those are two very different pairings.
That's right, Idaho. You're next on the chopping block.
Oh, boy. Okay, so I'm going to get back to this list. But, yeah, this is definitely a cash grab, no doubt. I think the Three Ninjas movie came out in 1992, the first one.
I think this is what I thought that's what we'd be watching. I really confused this with Three Ninjas.
As did I.
Absolutely.
Which is easy to do. Actually, in a previous episode, and I forget which one, but a previous episode, I did exactly that. I was referencing Surf Ninjas, but I actually said Three Ninjas by mistake.
And I'm going to be real with you. After I watched this movie, I was like, let me see if, like, Three Ninjas is better because they made three of them.
Was it better?
It's infinitely worse.
Wow.
And yet somehow that got two sequels and this one did not,
It did lose quite a bit of money, Surf Ninjas.
Yeah. So it had a budget of $6.5 million. In the box office, it did $4.9 million.
How much of that budget do you think went to securing Leslie Nielsen to do this?
$6 million. And $500,000 for the rest. No, I don't know.
Rob Schneider did it for a sandwich and a SAG card renewal.
Well, see, like 92, Nielsen would have been, Airplane would have been a thing already.
Right.
Naked Gun was in the 80s.
Yeah, and Police Squad, that was also in the 80s. And yeah, so the first Naked Gun, by then they would have done, it would have been between the first and the second one.
Which one had OJ in it?
All three.
Okay. It's crazy to watch that TikTok with OJ saying stuff like, we need to protect women's rights. Just like, listen, you can't punk us again. We remember, okay? You can't, I cannot be
punked. All of us. Mm-hmm. All of us remember. Mr. If I Did It. Anyway, that's my judgment.
Put some gloves on or something.
I'll chime in as well. Absolutely, 100%. This is a cash grab from the Fruit Loops box to the Sega Game Gear. This was definitely made with a very specific demographic and market in mind.
It was you.
And it was for the owners of Game Boys who coveted the kids who didn't get Game Boys and were disappointed that Christmas, and the next Christmas they got a Sega Game Gear. And, you know, you'd go on, like, school field trips and stuff, and the kid with the Sega Game Gear, you just look over the seat to check it out. I'm just like, God damn it, look at all those colors.
I have a question before I answer cash grab or not a cash grab. When was Pauly Shore making big movies?
I mean, it's pretty much the same era, so it'd been just after this.
Do you feel like Rob Schneider is just them Hollywood trying to make another
Pauly Shore?
Yeah.
Rob Schneider doesn't really have the hair confidence that Pauly Shore has.
No, absolutely not. But doesn't this movie just feels like the Rob Schneider character was made for Pauly Shore?
You could have switched them out
easily.
Yeah,
it would have been like no different.
I think Pauly Shore had the confidence to be consistently, like, so annoying all the time, you know, in a way that Rob Schneider, I don't think he could commit to. You know, he is annoying.
He couldn't?
He is annoying.
I guess I see what you're saying. He is annoying, but he doesn't want people to say it.
Right.
And Pauly Shore is fine with people saying, like, you're annoying. Like, yep, good, that's what I was going for.
Yeah, exactly. I think Rob Schneider doesn't want to be the annoying actor. He wants to be the funny actor.
Yeah.
But he's not funny.
No.
In this movie, at least, there is not one joke that he does that I even smiled at. And it made me mad. It made me really not like his character.
It doesn't really change my answer that much. I feel like it would make it more of a cash grab if they're just trying to create another Pauly Shore. But either way, it's still definitely a cash grab. Even with the blatant product placement, I mean, fuck it, you gotta pay for movies, right? I'm not gonna judge you too harshly on that one. But the Sega thing, it's clear that this is just a vehicle to sell that Sega game.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand why this was what they chose to put their money into, but normally I could say, like, oh, well, at least it's kind of funny. This isn't even funny. It's not worth your time. I stopped paying attention so early on in this movie. It's awful. It's so boring. The pacing is so crappy. Rob Schneider is so racist. Like, there's no redeeming things. You know how, like, old school, Eternal Classic Movies does not take out moments of blackface from movies because it's important to see racism in a context. So
yeah,
when you sit down and watch those kind of movies and you think, like, oh, I'll just turn back the clock to a simpler time. And then you sit down and watch those kind of movies and hopefully the kind of people who sit down and watch Turner Classic Movies will sit down and watch it and be embarrassed.
Yeah.
Even just a little bit. Be like, oh, damn, that's not how I remember it. But you'll see it through a new lens. If you watch this movie, I feel like it's kind of the same thing.
It is.
Like, no, there's nobody doing any blackface. But there's what was deemed as a, again, air quotes, gentle, acceptable 90s type racism. So when you hear people say, oh, the 90s was so diverse, you should watch Surf Ninjas.
Yeah.
There is quite a diverse cast. It's still super racist.
Yeah. And I think at the time, if those kind of jokes weren't there, they would think that those were missed opportunities. Like, it's what you were saying about it being acceptable is more like it's expected. Like, you have to make those kind of jokes if you have mostly Asian folks in your cast, or else, you know, are you even making a comedy?
Yeah.
And to see it, I'm like, oh boy, this is bad.
It's very true, and it's so blatant and obvious even still today. Do you remember the Bill Hader from that roast he did?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the people who was in the dais of the roast is what's his name from Parks and Rec?
Aziz Ansari.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And Bill Hader comes out and he is doing a character, and his character is Hollywood, and he makes the joke that if Aziz would just make fun of his Asian heritage, he could get him so much more money. So, that's clear even today. Like, if you're willing to mock your heritage and yourself, not in a funny way that would be funny to people in your heritage, but it would be funny to white people.
Yeah.
Right.
It's still there. It's still just... But if you watch Surf Ninjas in movies like Surf Ninjas, you'll really see, when people make the argument that the 90s was already diverse enough, that's not true. They're misremembering it, and you should rewatch it to realize that you were a child and your grasp of media literacy was in its infancy. Watch it now as an adult, and you realize, oh no, the people who made this for children were wrong.
Yeah,
they were trying to normalize a certain way of thinking that, It's insidious because it's so subtle. It's not subtle to us now, but
yeah, because you have an adult mind. But to a child, it would have been very subtle.
I would have missed all that stuff about all of those jokes that he made would have gone completely over my head.
Yeah,
and was just like, someone's getting kicked in the face. Cool.
Yeah, I wouldn't have caught any of that.
He's wearing Mac boxer shorts. That's hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. Would have just been like, look at the surfing. This movie is glorious.
Well, I wonder how long they had to train to surf like that. God, they're so good. They have to set up the camera so it looks like they're just in a parking lot.
Floating in the air.
Floating in the air? God damn, that's amazing. I should probably surf.
Oh my gosh. How have we not talked about Baba Ram?
Oh my gosh.
So there's a couple of scenes that bookend the entire movie, really. And at the beginning... Johnny, he has to do a presentation as he was chosen because he's the Asian student.
I wrote it down.
Yeah!
They chose him because
the principal said, I trust that this welcoming will be culturally appropriate.
No, ethnically appropriate.
Oh, wow. I cleaned it up in my own memory. My God.
And see how quickly it happens. Trey is a very smart person, and just now he watched it pure for himself. Everybody go watch Surf Ninjas. As soon as you said Baba Ram, I immediately wanted to start singing the stupid song. Ba 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 ba
ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba. I'd like to note that I fucking hate the Beach Boys. I think they're awful.
That's not true. There's that one song you really like.
God Only Knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do like that song. It's a good song.
It's because you liked it from Saved, that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's been some really good covers of that song. Yeah, I just think it's a good song.
Do you want to go off on a contingency about how the guy from the Beach Boys is a perfect example of what could happen if you're mentally ill but you have a lot of money? We could talk about that later.
Let's stick with Baba Ram. So he does a presentation at his school. It's completely culturally insensitive. Mm-hmm. And but then, by the end, when he reclaims the throne, immediately dissolving the monarchy, by the way.
Yeah.
One of the characters that shows up is the same Baba Ram.
Yeah. And so, then they do the song all together.
Yeah, and he's singing it with them.
And Rob Schneider is there singing the song.
Rod Schneider is the annoying guy.
This week, the new Rob Schneider movie comes out where he's one surfing dude. Hank 10 with Rob Schneider.
Watch him think about fucking this goat.
Rob Schneider is the vaccine denier.
Rob Schneider.
Wait, is that real?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh.
Yeah.
Also, his daughter does stand-up comedy.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I would be interested in seeing that.
You think she does things like, Rob Schneider? I hope so.
I hope she uses lots of props.
We can only hope. Maybe she's really into watermelon, too. Like Gallagher.
Someone needs to bring that back.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, why is it Gallagher's the only person to just smash fruit?
Yeah, let's bring it back.
Yeah, it's not that unique a gimmick.
It seems like it should be.
Well, listen, if we start doing these live, I know how we're gonna incorporate into it is some watermelon smashing.
That someone donates to us because I don't know how much they cost now, but... We're not giving out watermelon for free at shows.
I bought a watermelon the last week. It was $5.26. It's in season. What are you talking about, $5? We live where they grow watermelons. What?
That's pretty crazy.
No.
They didn't have to ship it that far.
Listen, I understand that this is how people like slide slowly into that black death of being elderly and out of touch, but I'll be damned if I'm paying $6 a watermelon. Okay,
there's no way we're gonna slide into being out of touch. We have a podcast.
We're hip and cool. My name's Spunky Witherbean. I just came to town.
Yeah, there's no way they would give somebody a platform like a podcast to be out of touch, Joe Rogan. Do you know who I like to get my medical advice from? The guy who used to host fucking Fear Factor. This is what happens when you don't understand where people come from. You start taking medical advice from Joe, I have 60 million concussions, Rogan. And I used to goad people on to eat like boiled sheep intestines for money on television. I'm good. Hard pass.
He's America's sweetheart.
That's Surf Ninjas.
That's Surf Ninjas. That's
so this was your watch. Whose turn is it next? Is it Josh or is it Trey or is it me?
I think it's you.
I think it's you because peanut butter solution was Trey and then this was
okay. Me. So I will leave this up to you guys. Maybe the audience. Who wants to chime in? Should we do another like jokes and japes and giggles, or do you guys want to watch Grey Gardens and you can listen to me rant about how I feel about Grey Gardens for 45 minutes?
Yes.
So, you know, just let us know.
Yeah, Rachel will be hosting her clinic on documentary ethics.
We'll just leave it in the air how I feel about Grey Gardens.
Yes.
Drew Barrymore, do you want to be on our show about Grey Gardens? She probably listens. As a fellow elder millennial. Oh, no, she's even older than that. She's Gen X.
She should be a Gen X, yeah. Because she was what? She must have been born in the late 70s to be... The little kid in E.T. in 82.
Or mid-70s. Anyways, we're getting off track. Bring it back. Bring it back. Anyways, Cash Grab Cinema. That's Surf Ninjas. Three cash grabs. Come get your award, Rob Schneider. It's my middle finger. Come get it. And it's a vaccine, actually. It's free. Thanks for joining us.
Quatsu, dudes.
Rob Schneider's.